We present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello, and welcome to the news quiz, which today comes to you from the Simmons Theatre at the University of Middlesex. It's a delightful building with all the architectural splendour that you'd expect from the 1950s. We start the show with a cutting from the Bucks Herald, read by Brian Perkins.
Saunderton Wildlife Sanctuary is to spend money raised for them by Risborough Postman on frozen chicks for its owls, not chips, as reported last week.
Well, thank you to H.M. Walsh of Aylesbury for sending us that. Now let's meet the teams. Would you please welcome first, on my right, Richard Ingrams, and with him, Ian Hislop. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran, and with him the man who claims full responsibility for the £1 million radio show and Drop the Dead Donkey, Andy Hamilton. Before we start round one, here's an item noticed in the July edition of Hello magazine. It's contained in a feature about Mandy Smith and her new husband, the footballer Pat Vandenhal.
Mandy and Pat have decided to join their surnames because Mandy, who only has a sister, doesn't want the name Smith to be lost.
Thank you to Michael Murray of Wantage for sending us that. Richard, who admitted to the judge his judgment was down the tube?
Good start, Richard. Yeah. It was the Scott inquiry.
Yes,
it Scott is. Inquiry, yes.
And Waldegrave said that the guidelines about selling arms to Iraq hadn't changed, and if they had changed, he would have announced them, so therefore they hadn't changed because he hadn't announced them.
That's right.
And anyway, it was all the civil servants who are to blame.
That's exactly so.
Because why should a minister know if you're selling guns to Iraq?
It is about William Waldegrave, minister in charge of Oakham government, who claimed Whitehall wouldn't tell him anything. He claimed the true intended use of exports to Iraq was withheld by Whitehall. How was he to know that 50 Challenger tanks weren't actually going to be used in medical research? And he had no idea that any big guns were involved. He thought large bore referred to Kenneth Clark. And rapid firing was Michael Heseltine's employment policy for the coal mines. Ian, who has 331 million reasons not to benefit from a red face?
This is Peter Lilly.
Quite right.
Yes, he'd had a very successful black shirt rally. Blackpool rally. In which he made one of those caring, sensitive speeches about how the loss of money and the budget deficit was all the fault of three single mothers in Cardiff. But then it transpired rather amusingly that his own department had managed to lose entirely by incompetence about £331 million, which is more money than all his stupid measures would have saved anyway.
It's Peter Lilly and his team at the DSS. They've managed to overspend a massive sum in the welfare benefits, so would the person who received the gyro last week for £331 million and 48p. Please send it back to Mr. Lilly or to any of his immediate staff, Eva, Unity or Benito. It was, of course, Mr. Lilly who attacked scroungers of all sorts and especially the growth in claims from single mothers. So any young woman thinking of getting into that condition should think again and stay away from cabinet ministers. Andy, your question now. Who were tailor-made to be as sick as parrots?
This is presumably a reference to England's football team,
right,
who went down in glorious defeat due to the fact that the Dutch cheated by passing the ball along the ground to each other. I actually only caught the last 10 minutes, which I was very pleased about, but I turned on it. And Graham Taylor was saying that blonde man shouldn't have been on the pitch. I didn't know there was a rule about blonde men not being allowed on the pitch.
I think it was a great pity about that bloke Gunter Praeg.
Who?
The one who knifed Monica Seles. Because he had an infatuation with Steffi Graf and couldn't stand the idea of anybody beating her. And if only he'd fallen in love with Graham Taylor.
This was the England football team who lost 2-0 to Holland, although experts say England should have won 8-2 on excuses after extra time. There's still a chance that they could qualify for the World Cup if Poland beat Holland, if England beat San Marino 7-0, and if Graham Taylor can get onto Jim will fix it. In which case they'll go through on if difference. Well, following the dreadful scenes in Rotterdam, the FA have issued a list of those who won't be allowed to travel to America. They are Taylor, Platt, Nelson, Dorigo, Allen. Listen to this.
It's a hard, and it's a hard, and it's a hard.
Well, that was A Hard Rain's Are Gonna Fall by Roxy Music. Alan, how is a wet spell causing deep trouble?
Oh, it's been the wettest something in living memory. It's probably been the wettest rain in living memory. But anyway, it's, even as we speak, people are floating by in their rowing boats, clutching their transistor radios in the hope of getting the news quiz. I mean, that's about all it is, isn't it? I mean, it's rained forever. It has never stopped raining.
Since records began. Yes. And I wonder, when did the records begin? Every time they say that.
Andy and I came in here two by two, just to be on the safe side.
That's right, it's the shock news that it's been raining quite a lot in October. Yet another scoop for the news quiz. As rainfall figures exceed all previous records, the emergency service are at full stretch. The AA were called out after an Austin Metro slipped its anchor on the M4. The police are trying to cope with a spate of ram sailing. And the fire brigade have been rescuing pet fish trapped in trees. One landlord cut off in his pub said he felt like Canute. And after his customers were stuck there all night, most of them were like Canutes as well. And the scores at the end of the first round are vivid but equal for all. We start round two with an item from the listing section of the Portsmouth News.
St. Wilfrid's Church, Harvest Festival and Gift Day. 11:15 a.m, family service and creche, children to bring gifts into church. 6:30 p.m, evening service of celebration, total number of gits to be announced.
And thank you to Duncan Sibbald of Catherington in Hampshire for sending us that. Richard, whose finest hour has been saved the nation?
Surely a reference to Mrs. Thatcher. No, the other man. Sorry, no, the chap with the cigar. Churchill, not Mrs. Thatcher.
Yes.
His
same
papers.
Sort of chap, really.
Same sort of chap.
Similar chap, yes.
There's been a big to-do because they wanted to sell off all Sir Winston's papers to the Getty Museum, I think, which is where most things go nowadays.
Yes, this anyway. Refers to the letters of Sir Winston Churchill, which have been saved for the nation, unlike the letters of Baroness Thatcher, which have been saved for the bottom of a budgie's cage. The comprehensive archive will be held in trust for future reference, a fitting tribute to Sir Winston, a man best remembered for sounding nothing at all like the actor Robert Hardy. Ian, who gave advice on the house in case you find yourself burgled?
Is this Justice Wolfe?
Yes, it is.
This is a judge who made a sensible speech, which is not bad going, in my view. It was in response to Michael Howard's speech at the Tory party conference, in which he came up with a 20,000-point plan for beating crime, and most of it involved putting people in prison for longer periods. Anyway, Justice Wolfe made a very combative speech, but included one slightly silly thing in it, which said that people should be fined if they leave their houses open. So if you go out and leave the front door open and the burglars come in and nick everything you've got, the judge said that you should be fined for it. Which is a bit stupid, let's be frank. But
this was Lord Justice Wolfe responding to Michael Howard's crackdown on crime and suggesting householders who are burgled should be fined for allowing burglars in. It seems pretty reasonable, along with prosecuting mugging victims for carrying a concealed wallet in a public place. Wolf, speaking in between his usual weekend job on Gladiators. I think we have their measure, Dr. Watson. Also called for the legal use of certain mind-bending drugs, although there was speculation he might have jumped the gun on that. Recommending that householders invest in extra security measures, he said, you won't find a high court judge without a complete set of chains and padlocks. Well, not outside the Pink Pussycat Club in Dean Street, you know. Andy, will you listen to this?
Peek-a-boo, I can't see you. Everything must be grand. Book-a-pee, they can't see me as long as I've got me head in the sand. Peek-a-boo, it may be true, there's something in what you said. But we've got enough troubles in everyday life. I just bury me head.
Well, that was a popular piece by Flanders and Swan.
I thought it was Meatloaf.
Andy.
Yeah.
Who haven't stuck their heads in the sand with a code that's for the birds? Who hasn't?
It's the RSPCA.
Who haven't stuck their heads in the... It's the RSPCA.
I can't actually write all this down.
Well, you can't.
The RSPCA, have got a code on ostriches. England is now full of ostriches. It's like the mink. Because they're farming them for food. They're going to be ostrich McNuggets and Kentucky Fried Emu and stuff like that. And England's full of them. There are millions. You can't go anywhere without seeing millions of these bloody ostriches everywhere.
Of course you can't, Alan.
You can't.
No.
Well, not if you...
No, of course.
I have given it up. I've cut it down. I can get it down to sparrows and gulls now. But no, there are these ostriches which are being bred for food and feathers. And they've got wonderful thighs. Have you seen it? They're enormously exciting. They're sort of like a tutu. I'm not quite turned on by that. It's a pity we have to eat them. And the RSPCA are very upset about this because they think we mustn't eat them carelessly. They don't want battery ostriches.
Well, I think I answered that question satisfactorily.
It is the RSPCA who had to issue guidelines about ostrich farming, which has grown greatly in popularity recently, unless you happen to be an ostrich, of course. The RSPCA say they want to avoid the kind of abuse other livestock have suffered in rural Britain. But since they do 40 miles an hour and if caught kick like a mule at just below waist height, they should be pretty safe. They grow to 8 feet tall and weigh 350 pounds, but they can't fly, which is good news for those whose job it is to clean public statues. Alan, it's your question now. Who counted the cost of royal thrift?
It's not Philip doing the pools.
Right.
When the Queen has gone down to bingo of a Wednesday... He gets in the Evening Standard, and the gentleman usher of the Black Biro comes in, and he's blindfolded by blindfold poor Suivant, and given a pin by the pin master extraordinary. And then they shout things out, he sticks it, and he shouts Accrington Stanley, and they write it down.
They haven't been in the league for years, Accrington Stanley.
He's a Greek. What's he know? He probably has Athens down to beat Corfu in the second leg.
But there was also, it was this man, Andrew Morton, wasn't it?
Yes.
And he said that they're very thrifty and they like, you know, they turn off the immersion heater at night and the Queen goes around, you know, picking up paper clips and putting them in a little box, which I'm sure we all believe, don't we?
And this is Andrew Morton's mini-series on the penny-pinching habits of the royal family. The author reveals Prince Philip does the pools every week and likes nothing better than a good pair of drawers. That's 20 years in the Navy for you. If he wins, Philip says that he will give up work. So... wait for it. So it won't change his life either. At the end of that round, the scores are still tied at 8-8. We start round three with an item noticed in the Scotsman.
Passengers on the Birmingham to Edinburgh train last Friday were told, as it pulled out of Preston, that extra sandwiches had been ordered for the buffet, but had not turned up yet. At this, several disappointed passengers were heard to reply, "Give them time, they will," and all round the edges.
Well, thank you to Jeremy Godwin of Penrith for sending us that. Richard, who mounted a challenge and won a race against the clock?
Any thoughts, partner?
Yes, why don't you know anything?
But I'm an ignorant old git. Surely you've got set by this stage.
Nothing to do with your age. I don't know it either.
Any clues, Mr. German?
Yes, it's Peter Scudamore.
Should we do this? You know this.
No, I don't know this.
Corin knows this.
Well, I know Peter Scudamore. He went round Newmarket Heath in 8 hours, 37 minutes.
Right.
Beating the previous record for 200 miles by Squire Trelawney.
Yes. Well, he went round on a horse, did he?
He went
round
on 20 horses. He kept changing them.
It is Peter Scudamore who entered the record books after covering 200 miles on horseback in 8 hours and 37 minutes, much to the relief of Peter O'Sullivan, who began foaming at the mouth after his seventh hour of commentary. Meanwhile, an exhausted Scudamore headed back to his farm where he can be found tending to a couple of acres. Ian, listen to this.
Thank you.
interestingly, before I heard that piece of music, I had no idea what it was. But afterwards, I know it's a Mozart piano concerto.
Sonata
for two pianos. Is that right?
If you give me the key, you get the points.
D major.
Right.
Yes!
This is a topical news quiz. He's got a point.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is not the question that gets the points on the ground. That was Mozart's Sonata for Two Pianos in D Major. Absolutely right, but that isn't the question. The question is this. If you were listening closely to that, why should you be clever enough to work out the question as well as the answer?
Yes, we know this too.
Aha, go on then.
Well, the answer is...
Professor Brainstorm, or somebody or other, has done a report showing that if you listen to Mozart... You become frightfully intelligent. Whereas if you listen to Radio 1, you become moronic and stupid.
I thought it was if you work for Radio 1, you become moronic.
Just get sacked, don't you?
It's the news that treating yourself to a little Mozart makes you more intelligent, while getting a little Brahms and Liszt has quite the opposite effect. Dr. Francis Rauscher of California proved that listening to Mozart raises the IQ. After 15 minutes of the Sonata for Two Pianos in D Major, students were able to score 119. So it does wonders for your dance as well. Andy, where was there a his and hers sale?
This is the sound of me writing, listeners, frantically. Torn on taxes.
Yeah.
Oh, the punk blonde who inherited all the money.
Well, Torn on taxes, who's a bit hard up and owns about 18 castles.
Yes.
You see her?
And she flogged it all.
Oh, it followed
me. She got 6 million in 2 minutes or something like that, which is a good going rate, let's be honest. I mean, yes, it was this, as hinted. It was this rich German aristocrat who was a bit down in her upper. She thought, well, I'll flog a few million marks worth of stuff and...
It was to pay death duties.
Was it?
Because the Baron snuffed it.
This was in Bavaria. This was in Bavaria, where former punk rocker Her Serene Highness Princess Gloria of Thurn and Taxis held an auction to pay death duties following the loss of her husband, who was called Prince Johannes Baptista Jesus Maria Louis Miguel Frederick Bonifacius Lamoro II, 1st von Thurn and Taxis, but known to his friends as Joe Baptista de Jesus Maria Louis Miguel Frederick Bonifacius Lamoro II.
Probably needed the money for the tombstone.
Quite true, because one of his visiting cards alone fetched £50 a yard. Alan, who's who when it comes to keeping mum about mum?
Oh, that's the radiant Thatcher, isn't it?
It is.
Who didn't have a mother till last week's Radio Times. She'd done an interview with the Radio Times, and someone said, "Yeah, your mother is not mentioned in Who's Who." And we assumed you sprang full-grown from one of the teeth of... of Albert, what was his name? Roberts, wasn't he? Roberts, the grocer.
Councillor Roberts.
Anyway, Councillor
Alderman Roberts.
She's never let the world know that she had a mother. Much of the world had a rough idea of this. I was surprised she had a father. They thought she was bolted together on Clydeside. apparently, she has now admitted to having a mum.
I presume it was at the mother's request that it wasn't in Who's Who, but...
Anyway, this is about Lady Thatcher, who, according to Who's Who, didn't have a mother. Mrs. Thatcher's entry merely lists her birth to Alf Roberts. No wonder he had to sell his shop in Coronation Street. And lists the date as 1925 on October the 13th. And what's the betting that that was a Friday? For the record, Mum's name was Beatrice Roberts, and she spent part of her life as a tireless campaigner for free contraception. Mostly the part after Margaret was born. And the scores... the scores have taken a jump... because Richard and Ian are 10, but Alan and Andy are in the lead with 13. Before we start the final round, the following was observed in the instruction pamphlet for a pocket torch.
Congratulations, you now own the most powerful, most advanced pocket light in the world today, bar none. The Mighty Light, Lifetime Light, is shockproof, won't break or crack, and is submersible to 2,000 feet. We will guarantee the Mighty Light for a lifetime against breakage, leakage, or defects in workmanship. Guarantee does not cover shark bite, bear attack, or children under 5.
And thank you to P. Betts of Lampeter Duffid for sending us that. Richard, will you listen to this? Well, that was In the Navy by the Village People, and your question is, Richard, what floating currency ran around?
Yeah. What floating currency ran around? Mm-hmm. Is it to do with the Cuban submarine again?
No. I'm going to pass it to them.
Thank goodness for that.
Is it this boat Gungat that pulled into Dartmouth? Well, a Russian training ship. They don't want their training to do. But they pulled into Dartmouth, and anything that wasn't bolted to the deck, the sailors whipped and opened an impromptu street market in Dartmouth and sold it all. Everybody in Dartmouth is now running around in Russian sailors' hats, carrying bottles of vodka and missiles. It's about the top and bottom of it.
That is, you're absolutely right. You get the points for that. These are the Russian sailors who poured ashore in Dartmouth and began touting for trade on the dockside. The crew of the Gungat set up shop and started selling their uniforms, though at sea they may come to regret going trouserless, as the Russian winter can play havoc with the Baltics. The Russians then went on a massive spending spree and stripped electrical shops bare. So NATO's main seaborne threat now comes from a giant floating Argos. Ian, who didn't shell out for a vast seafood diet?
Richard.
Yes, very interesting. I'm not sure that even Corin knows this. So obscure.
It is obscure. I can give you a small clue.
It won't help at all.
No, I'll give you the answer then.
Oh, that'll help, yeah. Try us with the full answer and we'll have a go after that.
This is seafood fan Alan Wald, who took advantage of an American restaurant's all-you-could-eat buffet by downing 6 dozen oysters. Such was his aphrodisiac intake that he found himself turning into MP Stephen Norris.
I did see that story, and he's suing them for humiliation and pain because the restaurant said, no, you've had too many oysters now and you're bankrupting us.
That's right.
And he's suing them for humiliation and pain. You'd get a lot of pain after all those oysters, wouldn't you?
Yes, it's quite right. He took the restaurant owners to court where he was awarded damages for humiliation. Despite this, he said he wouldn't go back as the food was terrible and such small portions. Andy, you did well with that. Here's this.
I'm just very good on humiliation and pain, Barry.
Well, in that area, have a smack at this. Who mapped out a saucy profit?
Oh, I know this. Since he nicked my question, can I have this one?
Yes, go on. Let him have it.
The Ordnance Survey have a department which checks wherever their maps are used. And the front of some dirty video had one of the Ordnance Survey maps on it.
Good. We know the name of the dirty video.
It's called Suburban Housewives 2.
Yeah.
And we're two of them. Are you in that?
It's the news that Ordnance Survey cartographers are to claim royalties from the makers of a soft pornography film because the video cover features a map. In the meantime, the Ordnance Survey is set to release its own range of saucy maps. The first issue is to be entitled Interesting Ways to Oldham, Peckham and Turnham Green. It's getting late, Alan. And your question is, who is a little cross because her old Dutch didn't go Dutch with the divvy?
I think his name was Tom Buckingham.
Indeed it was.
And he won £250,000 for spotting the ball.
Yep.
He has not been spotted since because he'd pocketed the cheque and he'd just moved in with a 65-year-old woman. And amazingly, once he got this £250,000, she didn't look quite as radiant as she had when he moved in with her. And he was away. But she has brought out an injunction or something because she wants half of it.
But he's gone back to his wife, hasn't he, she thinks?
Does she?
I think
well,
so.
Well, his wife thinks he's gone back, doesn't she know? I mean, you'd sort of know, wouldn't you?
How much did he
win? I didn't know he'd gone back. He won £225,000.
Well, I'll move in with him.
Anyway, it is the pensioner who won £250,000 on the football and said he planned to live like royalty, so he immediately left his missus. Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Richard, have you brought a cutting for us?
There's something from the Plymouth Evening Herald, Barry, about one of the very few criminals who has recently been apprehended. It says, a burglar with two artificial legs stole a computer from Hackney Town Hall in London, but left his false teeth behind.
Ian?
This is from the Daily Mail last week, and it's an account of the marriage of Viscount Linley and Lady Serena. She's not Lady Serena, is she? Anyway, those two people who got married. It says, Serena's last look had been upwards at the arch of flowers which decorated the entrance, her husband's handiwork. Then it was inside the great church where Winston Churchill and Earl Mountbatten had exchanged marriage vows.
Andy, what have you brought us?
Well, this is... I'm indebted to Mrs. Richmond of Tunbridge Wells, and this is from the KM Extra, Tunbridge Wells. Presumably it sounds like one of those things you get in the supermarket. And it just illustrates the importance of checking your copy when it's printed. At Associated Alarm Systems, we believe we can protect the things most clear to you. Your home, your possessions, and your family. We will install the latest high-quality security alarm system, tailor-made and professionally installed, with minimum disruption and the utmost damage to decor and furnishing.
Know the firm well. Alan, what have you got?
I have a little insight from the Western Mail, Barry.
Oh.
Dissenting from the proposal, Councillor Dearden said that he strongly objected to the town being twinned with anywhere in Belgium. He and his wife had once spent the day there on a coach tour of the Low Countries and had seen a dog sitting at a restaurant table with a bib round its neck. Nothing will persuade me, he told the committee, that these people have anything to offer us.
Well, thank you all. Let's look at the final scores, which are Richard and Ian, 12, but Andy and Alan well in the lead with 17. This week's winners. Well done. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Royal Gazette Bermuda, sent in by Mrs. Veronica Lim of Newmarket in Suffolk.
In 5 years of beauty pageants, Blair Pancake has won 25 national crowns, 2 cars, costly wardrobes, almost $20,000 in savings bonds, a trip to Disney World, and a puppy. Don't discount that puppy. Blair Pancake is just 10 years old. And if her career as a contestant has been extraordinary, she's not alone. Her 3 younger sisters are all following in her sequin shoes. We've been to so many pageants, I've quit counting, said Bruce Pancake. A plastic surgeon who spends his spare time preparing his daughters to compete.
And with that, goodbye.